Okay, go ahead, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Baba'ad. Alhamdulillah, we would like to welcome everyone who have gathered here to listen to the fifth session of the important lesson with our beloved Shaykh Muhammad al-Maliki, hafidhullah ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, without any further ado, we turn the mic over to him. Jazakallah khairun, barakallah fikum, tafadhal ya Shaykh.
Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين وعلى آله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, حياكم الله, dear brothers and sisters in the Masjid of Ansar al-Sunnah in the United States of America and elsewhere of those who are listening to us today and joining our session of the Durus al-Muhimma of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. We are still with the first lesson which he rahimahullah ta'ala had made for interpretation of the short surahs of the Quran, the surahs which every Muslim requires to learn how to recite and to understand the meanings of them, as these surahs are the surahs that he is going to use in his prayers. Therefore, he rahimahullah ta'ala recommended that this surah or these surahs to be taught to the Muslims in order to know how to recite them in their prayers, and at the same time they know or understand the meanings of them in order to obtain the guidance given in these ayats. And inshallah today we are with Surah Al-Adiyat. Surah Al-Adiyat. A second, please. Na'am. Allah Ta'ala said, I will, inshallah, as usual, I will recite the ayat as it should be recited, and then we speak about the meanings and the interpretation of this ayat bi-idhnillahi Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said, Allah Ta'ala said, والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا
Thank you.
their fightings and the battle. Allah Ta'ala said, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا. This wow and the saying of Allah, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ. Usually we have this wow, which is known in Arabic, يعني a similar wow, which is known in Arabic as waw al-atf, or a conjunction letter. But this waw is different from that waw, which is the waw al-atf. This waw is not waw al-atf. This is different waw. This is called a waw, the waw al-qasam. The waw, or the letter used for oath, or for making oath, or for swearing. So Allah Ta'ala is making the oath or swearing by these creation, which are the horses. And He, Allah Ta'ala, said وَالْعَادِيَاتِ, and did not say وَالْخَيْلِ. Why? He emphasized one important thing here. The adiyat are the horses, the khayl. And they are called adiyat when these horses are running, carrying on their backs the soldiers to fight. So they are taking them as fast as they can into the battle with the enemies. So Allah Ta'ala is swearing by them. Now, this type of swearing, we find it repeated in many different places in the Quran, as Allah Ta'ala had oath or swore by the sun, the moon, the mountains, the sol, the night, the day, the dawn, and the time, and many others. The ulama say, whatsoever creation that Allah Ta'ala swears by, this must have an important position before Allah, and Allah Ta'ala, as the creator, as the Lord, as the only true God, can swear by any of His creation, and whatsoever He swears with, it means that this has something very important before Allah Ta'ala. While it is not, while the creation, the swearing, the swearing or the oath that the creation make is only allowed to be by Allah. So if you want to swear, you say by Allah. If you want to hold the oath, you say by Allah. You never say by anything else other than Allah. It is not allowed. And it is called shirkul alfam. Shirkul alfam. It is the uttering shirk, or the shirk of uttering. And it means, it means that it is considered to be from the minor shirk, unless the one who committed means and intends that this thing that is swore by has the same rights of Allah Ta'ala, then this is major shirk, not minor shirk anymore. So Allah Ta'ala is saying وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا. And ضَبْحَا is the sound that the horses make when they run fast, the sound that comes from the chest of the horse, and it reaches the nose of the horse, and you hear it and you feel it when you are riding over it. That means that the horse is running on its highest speed with all the power it has in order to take the rider into the place he wants as fast as the horse can. فالموريات قدحا فالموريات قدحا. The word قدحا comes, yani it is from the spark or sparking method, and that's what happens when the horses run because of their hooves. When their hooves, the metal hooves, hits on or over the solid rocks, they make sparks. That's why Allah Ta'ala said, فَالْمُورِيَاتِ, meaning the one which establish the sparks, or make the sparks, or produce the sparks when they strike very strongly over the rocks. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. And the chargers at dawn, chargers at the time of dawn, meaning early morning. And that's why the Sahaba said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he used to attack any enemies, he used to prefer attacking them in the early morning, right at dawn, after praying Fajr. Immediately he moves, as he said in one another hadith, which is authentic, بُورِكَ لِأُمَّتِ فِي بُكُورِهَا. The blessing is given to my ummah at their early times. Early times during the day, the blessing is spreaded and given to them. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَا. And striking up thereby clouds of dust. نَقْعَ, the word نَقْعَ in Arabic is the place where the horses come into running fast, hitting the ground very strongly, making clouds of dust out of there, out of that place. So, and this would only be seen when the horses are running fast, and that's only when the horses are ridden by fighters who are willing to reach their destination, which is the land of fighting or the battle, as early as they can, as fast as they can. All this, and what comes, as Allah Ta'ala said, فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا. Arriving thereby in the center collectively. Thereby meaning at the land, plain land of the battle. So the rider is riding over the horse, and the horse runs fast up until it is at the middle of the plain land of fighting or the battle. So the fighting starts. And this shows bravery of this fighter, how brave he is, and even how brave the horse is. As it is trained. And then Allah Ta'ala said, and look, all these ayat, wal adiyat dhabha, which are the horses when they give the sound of breathing, when they run fast, fal muriyat qadha, those horses which make sparks when they hit over the rocks, when they are running fast and they hit strongly, fal mughirat subha, and in the dawn time when the horse is running fast, taking the rider over their backs into the battle of the land of battle as fast as they can in the early morning, and by that movement they make big clouds of dust, and also they lead the rider over them just into the crowd of the enemies, just into at the middle of the crowds of the crowd of the enemies, the kuffar there. Na'am. All this emphasizes the jihad. All this emphasizes the jihad. When talking about jihad, we should not just let things go like that. As we, at these days, are tested by many people who are not from amongst the people of knowledge. They are not ulama, and unfortunately the majority of Muslims are turning to them, abandoning the real scholars, although they know that these ones never have studied the knowledge from the ulama, but they are very enthusiastic in regard to fighting against the kuffar, which itself is a worship needed. However, this is a worship, and the worship must have must have rules, procedures, and understanding. It's not just like that, and we have to go back to the ulama of al-Sunnah when performing any type of worship, even the jihad. And however, the jihad is even one of the most important worships, because it may be beneficial or may not. It depends on the intention and the consequences. We have to study the consequences of every movement that we make, of every decision that we make. And then Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُوتِ. إِنَّ, verily, إِنَّ, indeed, or verily, Al-insana, mankind, with no any specifications, with no any affirmation or determining, but generally all mankind, white, black, Arabs, non-Arabs, every mankind, every descendant of Adam, is mankind, is insan. And Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. Indeed, mankind to his Lord is ungrateful. Subhanallah, ungrateful. How can you be grateful to your Lord? Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور. So you have to be grateful to your Lord by your heart, by your tongue, and then by your actions. As Allah Ta'ala said, اعملوا, do the actions of gratefulness, meaning worship Allah properly and sincerely. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned that You can't be grateful to your Lord if you don't fulfill sincerity. As He Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. It was revealed to you and to those prophets before you that if you commit any type of shirk, then all of your deeds would be uncountable or destroyed. And then Allah Ta'ala said, nay, but worship Allah, your Lord, and be from amongst the grateful ones, or the grateful ones to their Lords. So, we should not deny the blessings that Allah Ta'ala bestows on us. We should not follow the kuffar who blame the Lord whenever they have a crisis and calamities, but and they forgot their Lord whenever the good things fall on them. We have to remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or before that the ayah, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And those whoever calamity fall on them, they say, verily or indeed, we belong to Allah and we are returning back to Him. Meaning we have to be patient with our decree. And the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ لَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. The matter of the believer is a wandering matter, and in all of it there is goodness. There is goodness. إِذَا أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرٌ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Whenever any good thing falls on the Muslim, he thanks his Lord and be grateful to Him, and that is good for this slave. وَإِذَا أَصَابَتُهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ. وَإِذَا أَصَابَتُهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ. And whenever any harm falls on him, then he show patience. So the real believer is the one who does not negate the blessings of Allah upon him and deny whatever Allah Ta'ala bestows on him and disobey his Lord. That is not a grateful person, but he is an ungrateful person whom Allah Ta'ala is going to torch severely. And then Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. وَإِنَّهُ meaning mankind, عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ meaning upon his ungratefulness and upon his denying of his Lord, or the rights, denying the rights of his Lord, he is the one who is going to witness that against himself. As Allah Ta'ala said, يَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَى أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And remember the day on which we're going to seal on their mouth, we're going to seal on their mouths, and their hands going to speak to us, as well their legs going to speak to us of what they used to do. And then Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And He is the witness. He is the witness on this on this person being ungrateful to his Lord. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, meaning that He is somebody who loves money, he loves wealth intensively. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fajr, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَهُ وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا And as for man, when his Lord tries him and thus and generous to him and favors him, he says, my Lord has honored me. But when he tries, him and restricts his provision, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. That's how man says. And that's all wrong. We should always be grateful to our Lord. Because He's the Lord. And He's the one who gives and takes. So whether you be grateful or not, you're not going to change from the destiny any small changes. You're not going to do any small changes on the destiny, because it is written already. All what you are going to earn is the anger of Allah. Is the anger of Allah when you do not trust the destiny, the qadr, and what Allah Ta'ala has written for everyone. And then Allah Ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ But does he not know? Who is he? Mankind, whether man or woman. Mankind, they forget, they don't remember. إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ But does he not know that when the contents of the graves are scattered, not only that, but they forget even that they are going to be buried, that they are going to die, yet they have just buried a friend or a relative, but yet they still forget that they are going to the same place where their relative or friend gone to. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And the reason to be buried is to be only stored at that place and until the time in which Allah Ta'ala commands the hour to exist, and then people are resurrected for the reckoning and judgment, and everybody is going to be asked about everything that he did in this world. And the evidences in the Quran are huge and many. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا And remember, when we hung the book of everyone to his neck and say to him, read your book, it is sufficient for us today that you be the one who judge his deeds and himself. And the ayat of that are many and many. وحصل ما في الصدور, and all what is in the chest are brought out, meaning of the intentions. Today, everyone can claim that he is sincere to Allah. Today, everyone can claim that he loves Allah. Today, everyone can claim that he is believer, he is not a hypocrite. But tomorrow, when we all stand before Allah, only those who were sincerely believers and honest are the ones who are going to be survived and protected on that day. And that's what Allah Ta'ala ended the ayat with, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. Indeed their Lord with them that day is fully acquainted. And it does not necessarily mean that day. It is only as he subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatiha, Maliki Yawm al-Din, the owner of the day of reckoning. But that does not mean that the other days, like our days today, belong to someone else other than Allah. But to show that on that day people are going to see of the evidences that nothing can be hidden to limit that day. They are so sure and definite that no one can escape and no one can deny. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who listen to the truth and accept it and follow it and grasp on it and remain on it until they are until their souls are taken away of their bodies, gaining the pleasure of Allah. May Allah increase us in knowledge, iman and health, as well as wealth, and may Allah protect us, our families, our children. And may Allah forgive us, our parents, our families and our children. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Ameen wa iyyakum.
Would you like to take some questions?
Yeah, inshallah, no problem.
The first question is, if someone is leading the Salat but recites Surah Al-Fatiha badly, does it nullify the Salat of those who are following him who have the ability to recite it better?
Well, you have brought half of the answer. Now, the ulama say that if this person who's leading the jama'ah, leading the prayer, is either better or similar to those who are following him, then he continue and no problem, because they must pray in jama'ah. However, as you said that there are people who are better than him in reciting, then this person should not lead the prayer, and if he insists to continue leading the prayer, those who prayed behind him should redo their prayers, and in the future whenever they find that he is the one leading the prayer, they should not pray behind him. Naam. And if he insists to lead the prayer, they can't even make other jama'ah for themselves, even in that masjid, and pray, because the prayer behind him is unacceptable. Unacceptable. Allahu A'lam. نعم يا حمزة. نعم يا حمزة.
السلام عليكم. السلام.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
نعم. Shake with me, I lost you for a minute, but I...
Should I say it again?
نعم, Shaykh Barakallahu Feekum. The second question is, in the beginning, now?
I said, should I say the answer again?
I didn't hear you, Shaykh.
Should I repeat the answer?
Yes, everything's okay now.
No, no, I said...
No, we heard you well.
Okay, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair.
Ameen, yeah.
Now, Sheikh, the second question is, in the beginning of your talk, there was some problem with the audio. Is it possible that you could recite the surah for us again?
Yes, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا ووسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. And here is the recitation of one of the best reciters, Sheikh Sa'd al-Ghamidi. You can also hear it now.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. بسم الله.
نعم.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. The third question, Sheikh, is about the hadith that you mentioned by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the blessing is given to my ummah in the early times. Sheikh, the question is, can we use this hadith to say that this hadith encourages the Muslims to be on time for their activities?
Definitely, and especially when these activities are in the early morning. The meaning of the hadith is that the best productivity comes in the early morning, and that's why he وسلم, used to prefer traveling, if it is in daytime, to be right after Fajr, and the attacks that he used to make against the enemies to be after Fajr, and most of the things that he used to do used to be after Fajr, because this is the time when the person is strong in body, clear in mind, and also the blessings from Allah Ta'ala is descended at that time. And of course, it means that If you have a duty or a responsibility or a work to do, you be in the earliest of what you can.
Check out one other question, and that is, there was a hadith that mentions that during the time of the Mahdi, during the time of the Mahdi, that there will be an army coming from the direction of Khorasan with a black flag. Is this hadith sahih?
I really can't say if it is sahih or not until we review it. I'm not really. I don't remember the chain of narration of it now, but let me just go through the books and check and then come back to you. But I want to add something more about the hadith before this, the question before this in regard to if we can't take if you can't take from the hadith that if you have duty, you better be in the earliest or as early as you can to it. And now this hadith بُرِكَ لِأُمَّةِ فِي بُكُورِهَا does not necessarily mean if you have duty, go on as early as you can, because this hadith is related to the بُكُور, meaning the early time in the day. But if you have, for example, a swing shift or back shift duty, you are not in the Bukur time. However, there are many ayat and a hadith emphasizes that if you are given a responsibility, you have to do it the best of what you can do. And if you have some type of trust given to you, you have to fulfill it and be trustworthy. And this does not necessarily, although we can take an evidence from the hadith you mentioned, however, it is more related to the time, as in the 24 hours, which is right after dawn. Up until the some of the scientists today said that there is a type of gases which is the ozone. They say that it is only found in dawn time in a very low layer of the sky, meaning it comes down to the level of noses, naam, and it raises up when the sun comes up. Once the sun comes up, the ozone is elevated and raised up, and they say that this is very good for health. We are not in need to such type of evidences to prove that our religion is true. However, these are things that we may find some of the hikmah, some of the hikmah behind this type of commands, like Fajr prayer. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, those who go to the Fajr prayer walking, many other ayat and hadith proves that this time is very important for mankind, as Allah Ta'ala said, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, and during the dawn time they are awake to seek forgiveness, etc., etc., many other ayat. Anyway, the hadith mostly emphasizes the time which is known by the dawn, the fajr, and the earliest time of the day for the blessing that Allah Ta'ala bestow on the earth and the people living on the earth. Wallahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khair wa barakallahu feek, Sheikh, there's another question, because in the talk you mentioned how there is a person who is mutashaddid in trying to attain this dunya. So the question is, how do we balance striving for this life and the hereafter?
Wallahi, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already gave us the way how to be balanced. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لُقَيْمَاتٍ يُقِمْنَ صُلْبَهُ. It is enough for one of you or man some food that makes him strong enough to stand and sit. So it does not mean that you go يعني, burn yourself يعني, after the dunya looking for more wealth and more properties and more things and never turn to the religion of Islam, seeking it, knowing what it is or what it guides or what it commands to. Yani, we should balance that by saying, if you have your sufficiency of what can make you live, whether food or spendings like yani, electric payments, transportation, gas, whatsoever, yani, if you can't arrange that yani, within 8 hours duty a day, then don't take more than that, don't work more than 8 hours, but give some time for your worships and yani, on top of that seeking the knowledge of your religion, how to worship Allah, how to yani, get ready for the akhirah. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, when he explained what the word taqwa mean, he said it is al-khawfu min al-jalil, it is fearing Allah Ta'ala, wal-amalu bil-tanzil, and worshipping based on the revelation, wal-qana'atu bil-qalil, and sufficiency in whatsoever given to you, even if it is little and small, wal-istidad liyawm al-rahil, and in getting ready for the day of yani, leaving this world. Because once you leave this world, you're not going to be brought back to it. So that is the meaning of yani, or this, the answer of this question. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who accept whatever given to them from the destiny and find it sufficient and use the remaining time for worshipping and seeking knowledge. Wallahu a'lam. Naam ya Hamza.
Sheikh, we have two more questions. Would you like to continue?
Naam, no problem, inshallah.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Barakallah feekum. The next question is wiping the face after dua a bid'ah?
Let's first yani, identify the sunnah and bid'ah, and then we can see if this is bid'ah or not. And this is one good way to recognize yani, all these things, whether it is bid'ah or not bid'ah. Imam al-Shatibi said, na'am, he said, al-bid'ah, in his book al-Ihtisam, he said, al-bid'atu tariqatun fi al-deen mukhtara'a, tudahi al-shar'iyya, yuradu biha al-taqarrub ila Allah. He said, the bid'ah is a way innovated in the religion and set up to be similar to the legislated way or the way which is from the religion, and the reason behind innovating this way is to seek the reward from Allah. Now we say, when this person raises his hands, first of all, when you make dua, what do you want from this? Do you want a reward from Allah? Yes. Okay. why did you seek reward by making dua? Is it one way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it? The answer is yes. Then, alhamdulillah, good. The third, when you made your dua, you raised your hands. Is this from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The answer is yes. As he did in the Battle of Badr, as he did in the Istisqa, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when verily or indeed, when the man raises his hand, ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala then would not make them, meaning the two hands, returned with no response or with no benefit. And he also said that about the man who is fed by haram, he come with bare food, with bare feet, dusty on, yani with dusty hair, dusty clothes, and uncombed hair, and raises his hand, Oh my Lord, but he is someone who is fed with haram, so how come his dua be accepted? He ﷺ described without objecting raising hand. So from there we know that raising hand is permissible. So the dua is a non-worship, raising hands is found in the sunnah. Now we come to the point where after you finish the dua, why bring over the face? Was this from the sunnah? We say, I, Muhammad al-Maliki, say, I myself did not find it in any hadith, whether authentic or even unauthentic, that Rasulullah sallam wiped after dua over his face. So we from there say that this action, wiping over the face, is bid'ah, based on the principle that Imam al-Shatibi said. It is innovated, it's not known to Rasulullah sallam, and the reason behind it is to be given a reward. So all those who wipe over their faces, they want reward. Otherwise, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Naam? Why they do that? If they say, we just do it out of no intention, we say, no, akhi. Dua is a worship. It must have an intention. It must have concentration. So how come you do the worship while unfocusing, unconcentrating? Now that's wrong. Anyway, wiping over the faces is something that I myself never found any proof or evidence for the permissibility of it, and that's why I say it is bid'a, wallahu a'lam.
And this is the last question, bismillah. What type of advice can you give a person who wants to memorize Quran but they don't have a teacher to teach them tajweed? Barakallahu feek.
If you have a teacher to teach you tajweed, then I say begin with the tajweed, because it is as you memorize it. Yani once you memorize it, it sticks to the memory. But if you don't have somebody to teach you tajweed, which I doubt, and alhamdulillah, even on the internet, on Paltalk now, there are classes to teach tajweed, but need some type of seriousness and action. But if suppose that you do not find nobody, even on the internet, or you don't have internet, we can't say, no, don't memorize Quran until you find someone. No, that's wrong. Memorize Quran to the best of what you can, and the easy way to memorize Quran is try to memorize it depends, the quantity of ayat depends on it differs from one person to another. One has the capability to memorize 10 or 20 ayat, but other can only memorize 5. We say everyone based on his ability. Do not try to take more than your ability, because you are going to feel boring and you are going to destroy and you are going to abandon it later on. But see what is your ability in memorizing. If you can do one page a day or 10 ayat a day, then do it. If you can't, but only five maximum, five ayat or half page, then I say stop with that and do that only. But today you have five ayat in the morning, you started memorizing them, you keep memorizing them. When the door prayer comes, try to recite them in your prayers. And the night prayers, you try to recite them in the night prayers. And between the adhan and qam, when you wait, you try to memorize them, plus the ayat you already have before it. Let's say you are now from ayah 6 to ayah 10 of Surah Al-Baqarah. That means you already have from ayah 1 to ayah 5. So today in the morning, you only memorize from ayah 6 to ayah 10. And after Fajr, in between Fajr and Dhuhr, between Adhan and Iqam of Dhuhr, after Dhuhr, between Adhan and Iqam of Asr, after Asr, yani until Maghrib, between Adhan and Iqam of Maghrib, after Maghrib, between Adhan and Iqam of Isha, right? And after Isha, when you stand for the night prayer, even with two rak'ah, even if you make it yani two rak'ah only, you recite the first five ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah and then follow it with the other five ayat you had today. Even if you do the 10 ayat in the first rak'ah and then the same 10 ayat on the second rak'ah, as Rasulullah used to stand for long night prayers with one ayah, repeating it. So this will make you inshallah ta'ala able to memorize the Quran. But if you can't take the Quran first with someone who has tajweed, this will be better. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala won't blame you for what is not in your ability. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who memorize the Quran and act upon it and get the guidance from it. And may Allah Ta'ala make the Quran as intercessor for us on the day of resurrection, and a proof of our certainty and sincerity, and not to be a witness against us. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Barakallahu fikum, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khairan, barakallah fikum, ya Shaykh. Hayyakum Allah.
Hayyakum.